Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
You know, I get a ton of these things, and I appreciate you guys emailing these things. And the note on the top of this one, somebody emailed me, said, "You must have one of the best clean humor files in town." And I know that not all the emails that get sent are necessarily that. A man left for work on Friday afternoon, but being payday, instead of going home, he stayed out the entire weekend partying with the boys and spending his entire paycheck. When he finally appeared at home Sunday night, he was confronted by a very angry wife and was barraged for nearly 2 hours with a tirade befitting his actions. Finally, his wife stopped the nagging and simply said to him, "How would you like it if you didn't see me for 2 or 3 days? To which he replied, "That would be fine." Monday went by and he didn't see his wife. Tuesday and Wednesday came and went, and the same results. Come Thursday, the swelling went down just enough where he could see her a little out of the corner of his left eye. It's going right over this way. It's coming. So you don't have to leave home to not be seen, I guess. Now, this one's a little rough, not bad rough, but just hang with me. It's a funny story. You got to hear the whole thing. I don't even know if I can get through this one. A big city California lawyer went duck hunting in rural Texas. He shot and dropped a bird, but it fell into a farmer's field on the other side of a fence. As the lawyer climbed over the fence, an elderly farmer drove up on his tractor and asked him what he was doing. The litigator responded, "I shot a duck and it fell in this field and now I'm going in to retrieve it." The old farmer replied, "Well, this is my property and you're not coming over here." The indignant lawyer said, "I'm one of the best trial attorneys in the United States, and if you don't let me get that duck, I'll sue you and take everything you own." The old farmer smiled and said, "Well, apparently you don't know how we do things in Texas. We settle small disagreements like this with the Texas three-kick rule." The lawyer asked, "What is the Texas three-kick rule?" The farmer replied, "Well, first I kick you 3 times, and then you kick me 3 times, and so on back and forth until somebody gives up." The attorney quickly thought about the proposed contest and decided that he could easily take the old codger. He agreed to abide by the local custom. The old farmer slowly climbed from the tractor and walked up to the city feller. His first kick planted the toe of his heavy work boot into the lawyer's groin and dropped him to his knees. His second kick nearly wiped the man's nose off his face. The barrister was flat on his belly when the farmer's third kick to a kidney nearly caused him to give up. The lawyer summoned every bit of his will and managed to get to his feet and said, "Okay, you old coot, now it's my turn." The old farmer smiled and said, "No, I give up. You can have the duck." Oh, my. That is a painful one just to read. I can't even read that one. It's so painful. Oh, man. All right. The title of today's message is Secondhand Smoke. For a long time, I thought that this was a term used for like real heavy-duty chain smokers who had a cigarette in both hands, and that they'd smoke one and that second hand would come in here, and they'd smoke one and that second hand smoke. And then I was told that wasn't the answer. You know, it's gotten kind of hard for smokers on the planet lately, hasn't it? I mean, you're outside of buildings in the cold. I think they ought to just put little Venta hoods over people's desks, you know, and let them just smoke their life away. But even if you don't smoke, things have gotten different. You know, it used to be you get on airplanes, somebody smokes. There's a great commercial out there now where everybody's seen it, or everybody's sitting there watching the sign the way it used to be, and the, you know, cigarette light would go off and the whole cabin just fills up with smoke. even if you don't smoke, people don't smoke in buildings like they used to, but if you go into a restaurant or a bar or somewhere like that where people are smoking, even if you're not smoking, you're smoking. And it's secondhand smoke. That stuff gets on you, it gets in you. And I've talked to people who used to smoke, they stop smoking, they go, wow, man, I smell terrible. I can't believe that. You know, they see the contrast. When you're involved in it, you don't really notice. It's kind of like bad breath, only everybody around you notices that. But you go home, you haven't been smoking, you're coughing, it affects your throat, it's in your clothes, and you've just been around it. Now, there's a lot of things in life. You say, well, I'm a good Christian person, and I'm doing the right thing, and I'm not going the wrong places, and I'm trying to do the God thing. But you know what? You're getting hit with secondhand smoke. Because as hard as you try to not be of the world, you still have to be in the world. And in the same way that you get around this stuff, it is possible to get tainted by it, even though you don't partake of it necessarily. And there is a daily process almost where you go home and you say, God, you know, and you can feel it. I mean, you get in your car, you drive down the road, whether it's billboards, commercials. It's frustrating me with three little kids. I turn on cartoons and then you watch the cartoons and then the commercials that you would think are supposed to go with the cartoons. And it's the most bizarre stuff. You think this is for adults and you've almost got to turn the TV off during the commercials and then go back to the cartoon. It's just you get bombarded. And you think, well, God, I'm trying. No matter how hard you try, if you're going to be in the world, you're going to get hit by the world in some way. The challenge is to not be tainted by the world and affected by it adversely. Because these thoughts get in your head. I mean, everybody knows this. You get a situation at work. This could be at a family reunion, probably worse there, but at work. You get in these conversations and, you know, you don't want to be holier than thou, but somebody starts telling a joke. You don't have to be dirty to be funny. You just don't have to be. I've never gotten up here and told, I've told some bad jokes, but I don't tell dirty jokes. You can have a good time without all this stuff, but you get in a conversation and it's GD this and Jesus Christ that and people going off and telling these jokes. And I mean, you turn anything on the TV you want, late night, BET, you name it, anything. And it's just the most foul, vulgar stuff. You wouldn't watch it with your kids. You wouldn't watch it with your parents. Much less with your parents, probably. And we get hit by all this stuff, and you get in these conversations, people talking like this, and something inside of you says, I got to get away from this. I'm going to smell like smoke when I get home if I stay around this. Now, it's not that you don't care about those people. Guys, you don't have to be like the world. You can be in the world and touch the world and affect the world without them contaminating you necessarily or getting your brain all screwed up. Don't run away from the world in that sense. Get in the middle of it. Don't go by yourself, but get in the middle of it and say, you know what, God, use me to be salt here and to be light here where it's dark. You don't need light where there's lights on. You need light where it's dark. And salt preserves and adds flavor and taste. And I don't want to run out of these situations, even if I don't like. I mean, we do every once in a while a bar hop at church. I mean, I wouldn't go by myself or even for a fun outing to Club Clearview down in Deep Ellum, but that's where I ended up one night with a couple of girls on my team. One of them almost grew up in Clearview. I mean, you know, that was where she was. And it was kind of awkward for her to go back in, but once she got back in there and thought, you know what, I don't have to live this scene to be here and help get some of these people that I know and were here out. And we go in there and our cards at church are printed with fluorescent ink. So when you get in a place like Clearview under the black light, it kind of comes to life. And I stand there in the black light room. There's people up dancing above you and all painted up. And I mean, it's just a bizarre place. It's not where you want to take your kids on vacation. But I'd stand there and hold one of these cards out. And I'm telling you, people would grab them out of my hand and say, I don't know what you're selling, but I'll buy it. And I stood there with blaring music, not my favorite music, and shared the gospel in the middle of a place like that. Now, I went home smelling like smoke. There was some secondhand smoke, but I didn't go home going, gosh, I got to go back there Thursday and spend the weekend. I was there for a purpose. God sends you into work and into where you are for a purpose, to be salt, to be light, to make a difference. And hopefully, you are affecting them more than they're affecting you. But it is possible for them to affect you, and you've got to keep track of that and be very careful in that process. Now, I want to read you something out of John chapter 17. And I don't know if some of you know immediately when you just hear John 17. Some of you don't have a clue what's in there. The way to find out is to read the book. But I'll read you a piece of it just to get us going. John chapter 17, there is a passage of Scripture here. And let me kind of say this before I even go to this. A lady called our office yesterday. Martha got her on the phone. And in the conversation, Martha said, well, why don't we pray together? And she said, okay. And Martha said, this is on the phone. Martha said, okay, you pray. And she couldn't do it. She got quiet. She says, I've never prayed out loud before. Now, this is somebody on the phone by herself somewhere else, just stopped. And Martha said, you know, you don't have to make this up. It's a conversation. Just tell him what's going on. And she began to pray. And I don't know when the last time you heard someone who thinks they can't pray, when they start praying, it is an amazing thing. And at church, what we do is I'll randomly call somebody to come down and pray, and it freaks them out sometimes. But I'm going to tell you something. When they don't have a script, and it's not rehearsed, and someone takes a microphone and is not trying to impress the crowd, but is talking to God, it is a powerful experience. And you say, well, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to him. Try it. Talk to him. Don't run to everybody else and ask their advice. Talk to him. Now, as amazing as it is to be able to talk to God, what if I said, we're going to do a drawing again here in a minute, and over here in this room, and by the time you called the press, he'd be gone, but Jesus is here, and he's in that room, and we're going to draw the name of one person, and you can go in there, and he's going to pray for you, and then he's going back home. What an awesome thing it would be to sit down with Jesus and hear him intercede on your behalf to the Father and ask for stuff. You think you got it made right there, right? All right, let me read it to you. He's already done it. In John chapter 17, this is what Jesus prayed. It's one of the prayers that's recorded. And this is what he's saying to his Father about us. He says in verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. These that I'm leaving, they're in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He was talking about Judas. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. There's a whole nother twist on that. You know, when you give somebody your word, what have you done? You've made a promise. And every time you see this, when he says, I have given them your word, in other words, I've told them what you said, I've given them your word, you can't go back on this. It's your word at stake. When you read this book, it is God's word. He has given us his word. He has got to back up everything in the book. If he says it's going to happen, it's got to happen. If he says he'll take care of you, he's got to take care of you. If he says I'll never leave you or forsake you, he can never leave you or forsake you. You can take this stuff to the bank. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Now, guys, this comes as a great shock to some people. Somebody is going to hate your guts. And there are some people out there trying to make everybody happy, be really nice, and don't want to offend anybody. If you take a stand for anything, you're going to make somebody upset. Now, I'm not one of these axe-wielding, right-wing, militant crazies that goes out there just wanting to slay the pagans and make a stand. I mean, you can speak the truth in love. And a lot of times we make a fool of Jesus and us in the process. There is a way to gently stand for what is right. And hold your ground and trust God to provide for you. I've seen it happen too many times, and it works. And there are pagans out there, non-believers, who are watching the church and watching so-called Christians to see how we're going to deal with issues and how we take a stand and what we say and how we say it and whether we're just crazy or whether we're Christian, truly Christian in the process. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then verse 15, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Now, every once in a while, don't you just want out? If you're not a Christian, you really want out. It's worse not being a Christian. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know God personally, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, life sucks. Oh, I shouldn't have said that here, I guess. Oh, well. Anyhow, that's what they feel. I'm getting a lot of elderly stares. But anyhow, it just doesn't work. And I have these conversations day after day, week after week, with people who are just out there climbing and clawing and trying to do everything they can to make it work. It doesn't work. And the sooner you realize that and just lay down, give up, say, God, I'm nothing without you. You got to come fix this. You got to come give me a life. It works at that point. But if you're a believer and everything is working, there are times when you say, God, you got to get us out of here. Either you come back or take me home. I'm done with this. It's too much stress. It's too many problems. It's too much pressure. I don't want to live this way anymore. If heaven's so great it is and Jesus died to get me there, let's go home. Why am I here? And Jesus answers it. He says, I'm not praying that you should take them out of the world. Father, don't come get them. I'm leaving. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to comfort them and take care of them. I'm not saying get them out of the world, but I am asking you this, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Protect them from secondhand smoke. They're going to have to be in the world, but they don't have to be of the world. There's this tension. I got to leave them, because if I leave and they leave, there's nobody here to take the message. So I'm leaving, and I'm leaving them here, and the Holy Spirit that lives in me is going to live in them, so I can be all over the planet. What Jesus by himself could do, it takes all the Christians on the planet combined to match. We are the body of Christ if you are a part of that body, if you're in his family. So he says, I'm not asking you, Father, to get them out of here, but I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. Now, you have some scriptures. Let me just keep reading here, and then I'll jump to some other ones. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And this sanctification process, some of it is an event. It's something that you get when you become a Christian. It's a process as you're a Christian, and then something that happens when you die or Jesus comes back and you get into heaven, it culminates. But it is this process of finding out who you are, of shedding the old and adding the new, shedding the old, adding the new. You go a while, you end up being so much, it's more Christ and less of you. And by the time you get to the end, it's all Jesus and no you. He fills you up and you get dumped. There's no more you. And finally, when somebody looks in your eyes, they see Jesus. When you walk, they see Jesus. When you talk, they see Jesus. It's all him. You're so full of him, you're not full of it anymore. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. You can't get out of the world, guys. And being a hermit, being a monk, all these things, it's running from reality. It's not reality. He has left us here to be in the world, but not of the world. You're going to get hit by the secondhand smoke, but you don't run from them. A guy came in my office, and he's been coming to church for a while. He's been out there in previous years. And he's been working construction and over in a part of town where there's some homeless people. And this homeless guy shows up and says, I want to help. He says, I'll work for $10 a day. The guy's educated, high school, college. I'll work for $10 a day. Worked for 3 days. He went this morning, walked up the construction place. This guy's asleep by the wall, waiting, you know, there for work. And finally, when he woke up, this guy woke him up, said, hey, what's going on? He said, you know what? I can't lie to you anymore. He says, for 3 days, I've taken the $10 and I've smoked crack. I've spent the money. You won't work for $10 a day unless you got to have $10 just to feed your habit. But he said, I got to get out of here. I need help. And he said, well, is there anywhere you can go? He says, yeah, there's one place in Fort Worth I know. Will you take me? This guy drove him to Fort Worth, checked him into rehab. He's going to be there 3 months. He decided to stay 6 months. He can't get out. And this guy comes walking into my office crying. You know why he's crying? He didn't smoke any crack. He got to take a guy to Fort Worth. He said, well, that's a pain. That's a problem. That cost him. Obviously not. He was so overwhelmed. He was so blessed. He was so glad. He was so fulfilled that God had used him to change somebody else's life. He didn't know what to do about it. And it's addicting. That's addicting. And it'll cost you, but it's the best money, the best investment you ever make. God wants us out there. He wants you to be full so when you get out there, you can overflow and touch everybody around you with the gospel, with the truth, with the joy, the peace, the love, this life that only Jesus can give. And the reason more people aren't getting it from us is they don't believe we got it to begin with. That's right. You got to get full for your overflow. And only God, only the Holy Spirit can fill you in such a way that you just start oozing this stuff. And it's not about being religious. It's about having a relationship with the God of the universe. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Verse 20. This is where, now who's he praying for? The people right there, right then, 2,000 years ago. Now listen to this. I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He prayed for you and me. Because we believed. If you believe, it's because you heard somebody who heard somebody who heard somebody. For 2,000 years, this story's gotten passed and told and read and explained. And people have been changed every day for thousands of years, literally. I don't pray for just these, but those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. And he goes on to explain that, and you can read John 17 and finish that up. A couple of verses, a no-brainer one you know, the Lord's Prayer, the phrase, forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I got to go out here again today, but deliver me from the evil one. Protect me. I'm going to get hit. I'm going to be surrounded with it, but it doesn't mean it has to affect me adversely. And 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. It's replete with this. You can be out there and be around this. You don't have to smoke. You're going to get hit with secondhand smoke. But there's a way to go to the Father, and I do it at night or I do it in the morning, and say, Lord, protect me when I go out. And when you get home, say, Father, if I've been hit or tainted or contaminated my mind, Lord, I ask you to purify my mind, purify my heart, cleanse my hands, everything about me, Lord. I don't want them to be affecting me. I want to affect them. I want them to know who you are, that I know you. You know me. You love me. I love them. I love you. And that there's a difference. Don't run from the world. You can be in it, but not of it. And I challenge you to do that today.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Let's pray. And our Father, I do thank you for the scriptures, that you have given us your word, literally your word, a promise. And this book is full of promises that you'll protect us, that you'll keep us, but that you didn't intend for us to huddle up till Jesus comes or till we die. You intended us to huddle up and decide what we're going to do and then go back out there in the real world. And Lord, we need to gather. We need the encouragement, the challenge. But Lord, too many people are hiding out instead of marching on the gates of hell that you said would not prevail against us. Give us wisdom as we go out, not to do it alone. We know you're in us and with us, but Lord, we need some cases to go with someone. You send them out by two. But Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and the passion that you have for the lost and compassion, Lord, for those in need. And Lord, not just to pray for them, but to be willing to be the answer to that prayer. Protect us. Clean our hearts, our hands, our eyes, all there is about us, Lord, so that we will not be ineffective in the task that you've given us, Lord, to be salt and light in the world. And for anybody who doesn't know you, who knows they're sucking air, they know it doesn't work, they just don't know where to go, they don't think anybody will take them. Father, let them know that you love them, that you'll take them, that your church will take them. And there are people that will encourage them and help them get up on their feet and really live, and that all they have to do is say, God, I know I've screwed up. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. And I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to provide not only forgiveness of my sins, but a place in heaven and a promise of an abundant life between here and there. And God, I receive this gift of eternal life. I ask you to come live in me and through me, to change the world around me, and to let my life make a difference. Thank you, God, for using us in the best of ways. And I pray that you protect us even this day as we go back out into the battle
and try to bring the POWs home that are all around us every moment of every day. We love you. We thank you for loving us. And for a break like this in the day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.